Hey, welcome. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be with you. It is 7 minutes after the hour. We just keep hearing these stories about shootings, the latest in California. New York Times columnist by the name of Nicholas Kristof tweeted about the shooting at this bar in Thousand Oaks, California, saying, "These kinds of incidents don't happen in normal countries where there is some reasonable regulation of firearms, starting with universal background checks." Well, I'm not so sure that's true, but I know the expert. The expert is Dr. John Lott. He has been on this program several times, and on the Gary on Guns program. His website, crimeresearch.org. You can get updates, by the way. You can go to his website, and he'll email you with different research that he has come up with. Donations accepted, I'm sure. Dr. Lott, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So, apparently all we need is some reasonable gun control and these things will stop, but you think you actually have a way to curtail these attacks?
Well, I mean, first of all, Nicholas's claim is false, and he knows it because I've shown him the data on it. We've gone through and looked at mass public shootings around the world now from 18 years from 1998 through 2015. And what we find is that the United States makes up about 2% of those of mass public shootings. And but we make about 4.6% of the world population. So we actually make up well below the world average in terms of these attacks. And whether you're looking at Northern Europe or other parts of the world, there are lots of places around the world that have murder rates that are at least as high as what we have here in the United States from these mass public shootings. Western Europe is also very high over that period of time. I mean, you have 1 year, France in 2015 had more casualties from mass public shootings than the United States had during the entire Obama administration. So these are cases where four or more people are killed in a public place, not including some type of murders that resulted from a crime, like gangs fighting against each other over drug turf. It's not saying that those cases aren't important, just that the types of causes and solutions for them are dramatically different. We're using the traditional FBI definition of mass public shootings. And so, I mean, in many of those countries, France, for example, has extremely strict gun control laws. You know, so it's simply not true. Now, with regard to the solutions for these things, I mean, I don't know how anybody can ignore the fact that time after time, these attacks keep on taking place where people aren't allowed to have guns for protection. You know, it's just, it's not random. The attack in California on Wednesday, the synagogue shooting, all the mass public shootings this year, you know, the school shootings. You know, it's just, these killers aren't stupid. They may be crazy in some sense, but they want to go and kill as many people as possible. And they go and pick targets where they know victims aren't going to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah, it only makes sense to me. If I were going to go start making some kind of a statement, I certainly wouldn't want to be cut down in the midst of doing it. So I'd find a place where nobody can cut me down. So it doesn't make sense that we should have these gun-free zones. That's what I would take advantage of. You told a story about a guy in Michigan who admitted that was his goal, was to go to a gun-free zone.
Well, yeah, lots of stories like that. I mean, you have the South Carolina Charlton school church shooter, the Batman movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, other cases, the Santa Barbara killer. Others, you know, you read their statements, you read their diaries, you read the manifesto in a couple of these cases, you get comments that they've made to others. You know, and these guys clearly have thought about where they go and do the attack, because they will talk about worrying about somebody with a gun stopping them. And, you know, the case that you're bringing up occurred a couple of years ago in Michigan. Father was concerned about his son's involvement with ISIS, went and told the FBI. The FBI recorded the individual's telephone conversations, and they have one conversation that's very chilling, where he's talking to a compatriot and explaining that he had picked one of the largest churches in the Detroit area, and the reason why he picked that church was because he had checked, and that church banned people having permanently concealed handguns on church property. And he explained that that made it easier for him to go and kill lots of people before somebody would arrive on the scene with a gun. I mean, it couldn't be any more explicit than what he said. But, I mean, that's just one of many cases like that. I mean, you live in Missouri. Missouri, you're able to go and carry a concealed handgun virtually any place in the state. If these attacks were random, and that's true for other right-to-carry states, if these attacks were random, then, you know, 98% or so of the mass public shootings would take place in those areas where guns are allowed. Instead, they keep on taking place in those tiny areas within the state where people don't have permanent concealed handguns. And, you know, whether you look at the statements, explicit statements that these killers make, or you look at the statistical evidence on that, these are just not random. You know, there's no way that they're even remotely close. You look at from 1950 on, and about 98% of these mass public shootings take place in those areas where people aren't allowed to defend themselves.
If you just turn the radio on, Dr. John Lott, the author of More Guns, Less Crime. His website, by the way, crimeresearch.org, is a terrific website. Great way to get information about what's going on out there. He joins us. Can I kind of take you off to some of the statements I hear from the gun control people? They all say, John, that they want reasonable gun control, which I've yet to see anything that's reasonable that works. And then they point to Australia. How successful has Australia's gun grab been?
Well, I have a detailed discussion of that in my last book, The War on Guns. They had a gun buyback in 1996 and 97 that caused the government to take about one-third of guns that were legally owned. The thing is, people could go back and buy guns again after that. The gun ownership rate was back to where it was before the buyback by about 2010. And so what you should have observed was a big sudden drop and then an increase over time as the percentage of guns owned increased faster than the growth in the population. You know, the thing is, if you look for 15 years prior to that, firearm homicides were falling. They continued to fall afterwards, but at a slower rate. When people look at numbers from Australia, what they do is they look at the after average and compare it to the before average in a couple different things. And the problem is, you know, if I had a line that was perfectly straight and falling over the entire period, I took the after average would be below the before average no matter what point I picked on that. But if it's a perfectly straight line, it'd be hard to look at that and say that a gun control law made an impact. You'd want to see, well, is it starting to fall faster afterwards, or was there a big sudden discontinuous drop that had occurred in the line there, a break? But in fact, what you observe is that it was falling before and falling at a slower rate after the buyback than it was before. Total homicides were basically flat. Non-firearm homicides went up some, but, you know, you look at armed robberies, those actually rose significantly right after the buyback and then slowly went back down afterwards, kind of the opposite of what you would expect from the theory. And so, I mean, it's just poor use of data that people have that's really unjustifiable.
I understand it's one of the that's like one of the top articles of smugglers in Australia, smuggling in guns. At least that's and they're literally surrounded by water. If you were to ban guns in the United States, I imagine it would work like the drug law, and people would be smuggling them up from Mexico. I just don't see.
Right. Well, I mean, they've tried banning guns in many different places, and what you find is that every single time that guns have been banned, you see an increase in mass public shootings. I mean, in murder rates. There's not one country where guns have been banned and murder rates have stayed the same or fallen. They've gone up every single time. And that's just not random. I mean, at some point, you have to realize that what happens when you go and you ban guns, it's the most law-abiding good citizens who obey the rules, not the criminals. And that to the extent that you disarm law-abiding citizens relative to criminals, you actually make it easier for criminals to go and commit crime.
The website is crimeresearch.org. Dr. John Lott is with us. In the closing minutes here, one of the things that I have argued is that schools should allow teachers with a concealed carry permit to carry, at least them to carry on campus, and that, in fact, I would put a big brass plaque in front of every driveway. Our teachers are concealed carry permit holders, and they are armed. Does that sound like a dangerous idea?
No, I mean, that's what I would do. You have 20 states that actually have teachers legally carrying guns. Now, it varies a lot across the states. I mean, you have places like Utah and New Hampshire where basically any teacher with a concealed carry permit can carry. You have other states like Texas and Ohio, where you have over 200 school districts in each of those states have teachers carrying. You have others which are fewer. But, you know, there hasn't been a mass public shooting. There hasn't been any type of gun attack in any of those schools that allow teachers to carry. I think that those types of signs are exactly what you need to have. I mean, these killers are not stupid. They go and they try to pick out places, as we said, where they can go and make easier attacks. And the types of concerns that you often bring up in gun control debates, you know, about what possibly might go wrong, simply haven't occurred. They haven't used their guns irresponsibly. They haven't had a spate of accidental shootings. There's one accidental shooting that occurred at a school in Utah in 2014 where a teacher, after hours, accidentally fired her gun in a bathroom hitting the toilet. But beyond that, there hasn't been any accidents that have occurred, with the exception of a couple cases where you have firearms training that's occurred on school campuses outside of school hours. But those are different if many people are handling guns. It's not too surprising that you may have a discharge. But there hasn't been any of the teachers that have done that.
Get one quick comment from you. I don't know if you heard of this story out in Anne Arundel County in Maryland, where the police were told that this guy was problematic and they should seize his guns, and they ended up killing him. Police officers in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, showed up to confiscate 60-year-old Gary Willis' guns. Family member had called police and asked them to suspend his gun rights. When pounding on the door at 5:17 in the morning began, Gary showed up at his door holding a firearm. When he saw it was the police, he put the gun down to talk to them. But then the officers informed him that they were there to confiscate all of his weapons. He refused to comply with the confiscation order. That's when the fight broke out, and during the struggle, one of the weapons discharged. Police, fearing for their lives, opened fire on Gary Willis, killing the 60-year-old man in his home. Seems like a real tragedy to me.
Right. Well, let me just make a general statement. Police are extremely important. I think they're the single most important factor for reducing crime. But, on the other hand, having police to go and guard schools or other types of places is an incredibly dangerous job. You put somebody in uniform to go and guard some target in one of these terrorist type attacks. Having somebody in uniform is like having somebody with a neon sign above them that says, go and shoot me first. But their job can actually be made safer if citizens have permanent concealed handguns, because it means that a killer who goes in there, he may normally have a strategic advantage, but if he goes and tries to shoot the officer first, he reveals his position.
I got to cut you short. I know you got to run. We've got a commercial break. Dr. Lott, thank you for being with us.